Hi. The parasha is called Vayetze. Vayetze, and it's about Yaakov Avinu. It's about the interesting part of his life. But the story of Yaakov Avinu begins in Parashat Toldot, of course. The previous parasha where Yaakov Avinu is born, together with Esav. Yaakov and Esav are born together. And so, if you think about it, you would say that Yaakov is really developing in these parashiyot. In the parasha of Toldot, Yaakov is passive. And he's operated upon. His mother, he's forced into deceit of one kind or another, however you explain it. I mean, it looks like deceit. Not telling the truth. Forced to run away from his parents' home because he was not able to resolve his relationship with his brother. And that's why I think, as I said last week, the people like Yaakov. Yaakov, everybody's familiar with Yaakov. Because families are that way. You know, all kinds of tensions and even if it doesn't get to the level of Yaakov Avinu, but we recognize it. We look and learn about Yaakov. We feel, you know, Avraham was a perfect philosopher. He lived in the world, as Chazal say, he lived in that world of philosophy. He thought about if there's a world, somebody created the world. If somebody created the world, so there must be a purpose in the creation of the world. And that's Abraham. Yitzchak was tamim. He was pure. He accepted the dictates of God as being necessary. He didn't question that. When Abraham, his father, told him that God wanted him to be sacrificed, so Yitzchak said, fine. You know, that's what God wants. That's what I'll do. So Abraham and Yitzchak, for all their greatness, were not personalities that we easily see ourselves emulating. There's a difference between being a Talmid or being an emulator. Abraham and Yitzchak were was very hard to emulate them, to copy them, to be like them. It was very difficult. Yaakov changes that. Jai gets into trouble, he gets out of trouble, he has the fight between his mother and his father, and that we're very familiar. He becomes a very familiar character. So again, in the parasha of Toldot, we find the passive kind of Yaakov. And the parasha of Vayetze, we find Yaakov proactive. He's doing things, he's getting into trouble, he's getting out of trouble. He's getting, you know, divine support and help, and then he kind of picks up on it and manages to run away. He manages to, at the end of the parasha, to make an arrangement with Laban, you know, who's going to be in charge, who's going to determine the boundary, who's going to set the new rules. And so Yaakov changes. Yaakov changes. And if I was looking for the seat of the change, for the reason, for the way that Yaakov became Yaakov. I mean, he started out a quiet fellow, overshadowed by his brother, and found it difficult to find a place for himself in the family. And finally, Esav causes him to leave, forces him to leave. He says, I'm going to kill him. I hate him. And his parents couldn't protect him, apparently, from Esav, and he had to leave. But on the way out of Eretz Kena'an, we would call it Eretz Yisrael today, on the way out, a remarkable thing happens to Yaakov, and that's at the beginning of this parasha. And I wanted to look at several psukim, to especially look at several psukim, and those are the psukim on the side, the second side of the sheet, which are connected to the Ramban. But you can look at the first one is Pasuk Yud Bet. If you turn back and look at Pasuk Yud Bet says Vayachalom. You remember Yaakov lay down, took a rock, put his head on the rock, and he had a dream. Now we know the Rambam and the Rambam or Nebuchim, that a dream, Vayachalom, is a certain level of awareness of God's interest. Like you could be a Vayachalom kind of person. It doesn't mean you dream away, but it's a positive thing. But what was the dream that Yaakov had? So the pasuk says, "Vayachalom v'inei sulam mutzav arza v'rosho bagia shamayma." Sulam, I guess, is a ladder. Well, that's a kind of word we know. Sulam mutzav arza, that the sulam, the ladder, is stuck into the ground. V'rosho bagia shamayma. Rosho Magia Hashemaima, the head of the ladder is in the heavens. V'hinei Malachei Elokim Olivi Yordimbo, and he saw this already is remarkable. He saw that there were Malachim. I mean, how did he know there were Malachim? How did he know that they were Malachei Elokim Olivi Yordimbo? We don't know anything about that, but that verifies the idea that Vayachalom was not just a dream, not one of Freud's dreams, but it was a prophetic dream. He saw something that he had never seen before, something he didn't know before. That's Vayachalom, Vayachalom. If you look at the Rashi, Olimbi Yordim, Rashi only explains the end of the Pasuk, which says that the angels were Olimbi Yordim. Olim tchila v'kach yordim. Olim. First they went up, and then they came down. Chagach yordim. Malachim shelivahu ba'aretz ein yotzim chutza la'aretz v'alu la'rakia. The angels that came with Yaakov in Eretz Yisrael ein yotzim chutza la'aretz. There's some kind of qualitative difference between Eretz Yisrael and Chutz La'aretz for the angels. The angels who are Israel angels can't go to Chutz La'aretz for some reason, right? Ein yotzim Chutz La'aretz v'alu l'rakia v'yardu malachei Chutz La'aretz l'avoto, that the angels who are in Eretz Yisrael went up to heaven somehow, they climbed on the ladder and they went up to heaven, whereas the angels that were supporting him in Chutz La'aretz, well, they came down from somewhere or other. This is all kind of a little bit strange, but if we turn the page and we look at the Ramban, we might find something interesting, right? Rosho Magia Shamayma V'idei Malachei Elokim Olim Yordim Bo. The Ramban says this, Her'eu b'chalom ha'nevu'ah. He doesn't mixed words, right? Chalom nevu'ah. The word chalom in this case means prophecy. It's not just a dream. Not just a dream. Chalom nevu'ah. Ki kol ha'naseh ba'aretz, naseh al yedei ha'malachim. Kol ha'naseh ba'aretz, naseh al yedei malachim. Everything that happens in Eretz Canaan was done by angels. V'hakol b'gizrat elyon aleihem. And all the angels act as a result of God's directives. God says to the angels, do this, do that, and they do this, and they do that, right? Ki amalachei Elokim asher shalach Hashem litalech ba'aretz lo yasu ktana ugdola ad shuvam lityatsev al adon kol ha'aretz le'mor lifanam. This is the angel not going to do anything in Eretz Yisrael, right? Lityatsev al adon kol ha'aretz le'mor lifanam hitalachnu ba'aretz. We went around in the land. V'hine yoshevet b'shalva, o melea cherev adam, and the angels would report back to heaven and say everything is calm and peaceful, or this everything is wild and terrible. V'hu yitzave alehem lashuv laredet ba'aretz v'lasot divarot. So this reminds me. It reminds me of the Medrash. Chazal say that everything was done. They try to explain that everything that happens in the world, even the things that seem to us to be nature, natural, were actually the result of divine fiat. God said to the grasses, grow, and the angel beat the grass, and the grass grew a little bit. So that means that there's this ongoing connection between God's will and the result of God's will. The fact that it looks like to us like something that repeats itself doesn't mean anything. You know, logically, God could command the grasses to grow in a kind of repetitive way. Right? It doesn't mean, but the idea that the Ramban is focusing on is that everything that happens because God wills it to happen. Right? Now that's just a particular position that you could adopt. It's not something you could prove. But you could adopt such a position, and the Ramban does. So he says, "Hu yitzaveh lehem lashuv laredet ba'aretz lasot devaro." So the angels go up to heaven and they report to God what's going on. And God said, well, we go back where you came from and straighten this out and straighten that out. And that's what happens. Ve'er'ahu, her'ahu, mi amar el mi, Hashem shows Yaakov, ver'ahu ki hu yitbarech mitzav al hasulam. Right, that God, that's what the Pasuk says. The next Pasuk Yud Gimel. Look again at the Pasuk. Pasuk Yud Gimel. V'hine Yud Kei Vav Kei, Hashem, the name of God, Nitzav Alav, is standing on it, on the ladder. V'yomer Ani Hashem Elokei Avraham Avicha Elokei Yitzchak. And God said to Yaakov, I am the God of your father Abraham, and the father, and your father Yitzchak. Right? It seems almost like a non sequitur. Like God says, I am God, the God of your father, the God of your grandfather, and the land that you're sleeping upon, the land that you're lying upon, I'm going to give it to you. What's one thing got to do with another? Right? So Ramban says, Her'ahu, about the fourth line, the end, towards the end of the line, Her'ahu, God shows Yaakov, ki hu yitbarech mitzav al hasulam. He allowed him to see it. He allowed to see God on the top of the sulam. Umavticho liyakov v'avtacha gdola. Umavticho liyakov v'avtacha gdola. He promised Yaakov with a great promise that he would get this land. Right, lohdi'a shehu lo yeh biyad hamalachim, avol yeh chelek Hashem v'yeh imo tamid. And this is in order that Yaakov should understand that he is not dependent on the angels, but he is going to kind of be under the direct control of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So, again, what does Yaakov see? He sees angels of Eretz Yisrael leaving. He sees angels of Chutz La'aretz coming. And there was some difference with the way God controls Eretz Yisrael and God controls Chutz La'aretz, which is, of course, we don't know why. We don't know how that works exactly, but we know that that's what, according to the Ramban, that's what we mean. And then he saw that God is perched upon this ladder. And according to the Ramban, what that means is that God himself, so to speak, takes responsibility for Yaakov. Not the angels who leave Eretz Canaan, and not the angels who come down to watch over him in Chutz La'aretz, but HaKadosh Baruch Hu himself is going to be in charge of Yaakov. And that's what Nitzav on the Sulam, what it means. And that's what the Ramban calls that Haftacha Gdola, a great promise. Right? Lodia, again, I'm in the fifth line. Lodia Shu Lo Yeh B'Yad HaMalachim. He's not going to be with the angels. Aval Yeh Chelik Hashem V'Yeh Imo Tamid. But he's always going to be with Hashem. He Yaakov will always be with Hashem. Kemo she'amar v'hinei anochi imach u'shmarticha b'kol asher telech. The next pasuk God said, I, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, will be with you u'shmarticha b'kol asher telech. So that according to the Ramban, the Yaakov is having an educational experience, and he's discovering that the relationship that people have to God is not the same. It's not always the same, but it varies from place to place, from idea to idea. And his relationship is going to be the biggest of them. Listen to how he says it. He says, "Kimo shama b'nei nochi imach." Ushvarticha bekol asher telech, God says to Yaakov, ki ma'alato gidola misha'ar hatzadikim. The level of Yaakov is greater than the other righteous people, she'nemar b'hem. It says about them, ki malachav yitzavelecha l'shomrecha bechol derachecha, that the angels will watch over you to take care of all the paths that you go. So there you have it. Yaakov Avinu had a chalom, and in that chalom he learned something about his relationship to God. His relationship to God. We don't know anything about his relationship to God before this event took place, and this is what the Ramban explains. Now listen. V'aldat Rabbi Eliezer HaGadol. There's a medrash called Pirkei de Rabbi Eliezer HaGadol, and in that medrash there's sort of like the history of Breishit, the period of Breishit, later as well, but Breishit, the Avot, expanded a little bit. So he says... It says there, Haita zot hamar'eh ki inyan bein habitarim la'Abraham, that this vision that Yaakov had was similar to the vision of the pieces where there was the original covenant with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, ki her'ehu memshelet arba malchiyot u'malatam v'yiridatam. Because Olim V'Yordim has another meaning, and that has to do with the four kingdoms, Uma'alatam, and their special qualities, their going up and going down. So we know that in history, one of the ways that we look at history is Arba Malchuyot, that we'll see in a minute what that is. Malachei Elokim. And that's what it means, what the pasuk means when it says Malachei Elokim. Kemo she'ne'emar b'Daniel, Tsar Malchut Yavan, Vesar Malchut Paras. Right, first there was Yavan, and then Paras, and then Vesar Malchut Paras, Vesar Malchut Paras, Vivticho ki hu yitale yiye imo, Bechol asher yelech, Beinehem, Vishmerenu viatzilenu miyadam. So Yaakov was going to be protected from these malchuyot, these nations that did not always have our concern at heart. Amru, parentheses, Sham bepirkei derab Elazar, Heralo HaKadosh Baruch Hu arba malchuyot, Moshlan v'avdan. That he showed him again. He showed Yaakov the four malchuyot, the four kingships, their rise and their fall. Moshlan v'avdan, herato sar malchut bavel ole shivim okim v'yored, herahu sar malchut madai ole chamishim v'shnayim okim v'yored. Erao Sar Malchut Yavan Ole Meyash Monim Okim Vyoreid, Verao Sar Malchut Adom Ole Ve No Yoreid. That's us, the Egalut of Romi. Amar Lo Yaakov Ach El Sheol Torad. Right? Amar Lo HaKadosh Baruch Hu Eim Tagbia Kenesha Vigomer, a pasuk in Ovadia. Now, what the Ramban is trying to tell us is that there's a pshat and a super pshat in this story about the Malachim Olim V'Yordim, right? And the Malachim Olim V'Yordim also represent the Arba Malchuyot, and that the idea is that they will rise up and do great things and then fall down again. And that's all the nations until you get to Rome, and the Romans remain as they are. Okay, so that's the Ramban. This is what the Ramban says. Now we look at the other page at Pasukav. Vayidar Yaakov neder leimor. This is like one of the strangest psukim in the Torah. Yaakov gets up. Let's go back a few psukim. Pasuk Yudalet. Vayazaracha kafar haaretz. He promises Yaakov that he'll have endless progeny. Kafar haaretz. You'll need a lot of apartments, so you'll get them. V'nivrichu b'cha kol mishpichot ha'adama u'v'zar'echa. V'nivrichu b'cha, right? Which is what the promise that HaKadosh Baruch Hu made to Avram Avinu, if you remember. V'yei bracha. What does Rashi say? Davar acher. Hayei bracha, that even though the paragraph that starts Shmona Esrei is Elokei Avraham, Elokei Yitzchak, Elokei Yaakov, the bracha is Magen Avraham. That's Hayei bracha, that the promise to Avraham was that he would be the leading bracha somehow. He would. So here in this pasuk, V'nivrichu b'cha kol mishpichot ha'adama v'zarecha. So that seems to be a corollary. You'll have a lot of progeny, you'll have a lot of territory, and v'heyei bracha. The v'heyei bracha will apply to you, Yaakov, just as it applied to Abraham. But they didn't change the Shmona Esrei. Pasuk Tedvav. Hinei anochi imach Ushmaticha bechol asher teilech. HaKadosh Baruch Hu makes a deal with Yaakov. I will be with you. I will watch over you. Vashivoticha el hadama hazot, and I will bring you back to Eretz Kinaan, right? Adama hazot, this land. Ki lo e'ezavcha, I will not leave you behind. Ad asher masiti et asher dibarti lach, I will not leave you behind until I accomplish, God speaking, right? All these things for you. Vayikatz Yaakov mishnato vayomer. And Yaakov suddenly got up. Vayomer. Achein yesh Hashem b'makom hazeh, v'anochi lo yedati. Achein, in fact, God is here in this place, and I did not know that. Vayira vayomar. And he was filled with fear. Vayomar. Mano v'makom hazeh. This place is terrible, terrible in a positive way. Yabakom haze ein ze ki im beit halukim v'ze shar hashamayim. I mean, wonderful psukim. And it was his, Yaakov. What an awakening he's having. Vayashkem Yaakov baboker vayikach et ha'evel asher sam mirashotav. He got up in the morning and he took the stone that he put under his head. Vayasem otav matzeva, and he set it up as a set it up, right? He made it into a matzeva. Vayitzok shemen al rosha, he anointed it with oil. Vayikra shem hamakom hahu beit el v'lablu shem ha'il rishona. So that's it. That's it. God tells Yaakov that he's the recipient of the bracha. Remember, you should remember, the parasha of Toldot, as Asha told him, well, we read this story every year, right? We read the story every year. So he said, why was Rivka so interested in Yaakov getting the bracha? Because she knew that he should get the bracha. But what bracha was it that he should get? He, Yaakov, what bracha should he get? The bracha of Abraham, that bracha. And she, Rivka, thought that Yitzchak was going to give that bracha to Esau. But that was wrong. That was wrong. Yitzchak did not give the bracha of Abraham to Esau, because apparently, even though it's not indicated so well, apparently Yitzchak also knew a thing or two. Yitzchak also understood that Esau was not the proper recipient of the bracha. So who did get that bracha? Yaakov. When did Yaakov get that bracha? If you look back, I don't know if it's allowed, but if you look backwards at the parasha of Toldot, right? Esav says, I'm going to kill him. Because he got the bracha. But what bracha did he get? The bracha, they call it Gashmiut. You know, it should rain and it should be hunted and everything should be, you know, your physical situation should be wondrous. Everything should be wonderful. So Esav said, I'm going to kill him. He got the bracha. But Esav didn't understand that wasn't the bracha that Rivka was fearful of her son not getting. But that was the bracha of Abraham, which Yitzchak gave to Yaakov before he ran away out of the dangerous clutches of Esau. So Yitzchak also knew more or less. And here the bracha that was passed on from Yitzchak to Yaakov is validated as an original bracha by HaKadosh Baruch Hu to Yaakov. I mean, that's what happened. That's what it says in the Chumash. I mean, I can't help that. So, I just wanted to. So here we are. I mean, we go through these Rashi's. So then we come up to this difficult pasuk, the pasuk kaf. Vayidar Yaakov neder lemor, and Yaakov says, okay, that's very nice. I'm happy that you made me this offer, but I have something to say. Vayidal Yaakov neder lemo, and he's going to take an oath. Imi yelo, imi madi, ushmarani baderech hazeh asher anochi oleich, v'natan mi lechem lechol beged lelbosh. What does that mean? Ushmarani baderech hazeh asher anochi oleich, v'natan mi lechem lechol beged lelbosh. I mean, what exactly is Yaakov saying? Danli beged lechem lechol beged lelbosh. Pasuk kaf aleph b'shabti b'shalom l'beit avi v'yashem li le'elohim. The examples that Yaakov chooses. Lechem lechol ubeged lilbosh. You think he's going to be the only one in the world who has lechem lechol ubeged lilbosh? I mean, what is Yaakov saying? What is Yaakov saying? It doesn't make any sense. Vayidar Yaakov neder lemor. If God does this and that, then natan li lechem lechol ubeged lilbosh. So what I think that the pasuk might mean is that Yaakov turns up to heaven and says, look, if I'm able to comprehend, to understand that the bread I have and the clothes that I'm wearing, if they look like everybody else, everybody has bread to eat and clothes to wear. I mean, everybody, but I mean most people. But if I want to be able to tell that in my case it comes from God. So if you go back to read the earlier psukim, that's what God says to Yaakov. He says, you have this ability. This is the offer. This is the bracha. The bracha is not a credit card, gold or platinum or whatever credit cards they have today. It's not a credit card for Olam Hazeh. It's not that you, Yaakov, will be able to... To get what you want, what you need, but you'll be able to see that it all comes from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's the bracha. That's the bracha of Gashmius. Esav got the bracha of Gashmius from Yaakov. He didn't get the bracha of Gashmius, which had something to do with visualizing or feeling the presence of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's a very rare thing. It's a very rare thing. And you remember that at Matan Torah, there was a step when the young people all went and they made food and they had a party. And it's like very strange that at the time of Matan Torah, they would go and have a party and eat food and have sacrifices. But again, it's the desire that you might have to be able to see God in the Gashmius, in the pragmatic things. Well, that's what it says in the pasuk. That's what it says in the pasuk. So he says. So that's what Yaakov said. If God will be with me, Ushmarani baderech hazeh asher anochi oleich, v'natanli lechem lechol beged lelbosh, v'natanli. It won't be what everybody else thinks, that there's bread and there are clothes, and you just take them and you have them, and that's called bracha. No, the bracha is the ability not to see God in Matan Torah only, right, but to see God in everything. In everything that happens, in all the little things. Right? Rashi, Im Yeh Elohim Imadi. Im Yeh Elohim Imadi, Im Yishmor Li Haftachot Halal. If God will actually keep these promises, Sheftichani Li Yot Imadi, to be with me, Kemo She'amar Li, V'hinei Anochi Imach. Ushmarani, right? The pasuk says, you'll watch over me. Kemosha Amarli, as God said to me, Ushmarticha b'chol asher teilech. I will watch over you b'chol asher teilech. That means that you'll be safe, but you won't think that your safety is dependent on a bunch of soldiers that you have going with you, or policemen, but you're safe because you see the protection of God. That's very difficult. That's a level of difficulty that only Yaakov was able to achieve. Right? As I said, Abraham had it in his analysis, in his philosophical analysis, that it all comes from God. And Yitzchak was a latmima. He didn't make chakirot. He didn't investigate it. But Yaakov was the one who was called upon to see God protecting him, even though there was nothing much to see. But that was part of the chalom, right? Lechem lechol. You see, you skipped the Rashi. Lechem lechol. Kmo she'amar ki lo azavcha amavakesh lechem. Who karui ne'ezav, Rashi says. That somebody who has to look for bread is considered to be left behind. Shene'emar, v'lo ra'iti tzadik ne'ezav, v'zaro mevakesh lachem. Okay, you all know that pasuk. In any event, this is the religious experience that was granted to Yaakov. The religious experience granted to Yaakov, not just that he could speak to God upon occasion, that you could kind of make a special time for speaking to God, but that he was able to see God's protection and God's support in everything that happened. And that was the remarkable thing. So we turn the page and look at the Ramban, Pasukha. Imi Yelo, Imi Badi, remember, that's the condition. The condition that Yaakov makes, Lashon Rashi, Im Yishmor Li. This is how Rashi explained that. Im Yishmor Li Avtachot Halalu Sheftichani V'Tam HaTanai. He says, if God will take care of all the promises that He promised me, V'Tam HaTanai. So why is there a Tanai? Shelo Yigrom HaChet. That's the Tanai. In other words, everybody knows that we have the strength, the ability to usurp God's promise. In other words, we know that if God promises a punishment and the people who are supposed to be punished act in a positive way, so the punishment is waived, right? That's the story of Nineveh, right? Yonah and Nineveh. But the truth is also in the opposite way, that that if God says that He will bless them, give them something, and then they deny His authority and will, so that promise can also be abrogated. So what did Yaakov do according to the Ramban? Tam HaTanai, towards the end of the first line, Shelo Yigrom HaChet. That even, Yaakov says, even if I mess up, I want the promise to be intact. V'kach amru v'breshit rabah, Rav Huna b'shem Rav Acha, Hine anochi imach, uchtiv, im yeh elokim imadi, if God will be with me. Elo mikan, she'ein havtacha, latzadikim b'olam hazeh. But from this we also learn that even the righteous people cannot guarantee ba'olam hazeh how God is going to react. V'yitachen od al derech hapshat she'en ha'sofek ba'davar avo b'kol ha'et yomar ha'katuv kein kimo ad asher im asiti, etc. Right? That this is always going to be this is always going to be the way it is, that the support that God gives us in this particular case will be ongoing. Vaya Hashem li lelokim, the last Ramban, the third Ramban on the page. This is again Pasuk Kaf Aleph. Vaya Hashem li. This is the pasuk. B'shavti b'shalom al beit avi. I will come back to the house of my father, as you promised me. Vaya Hashem li leilokim. It's not like that's something that Yaakov is giving back to God, but Vaya Hashem li leilokim means I will be on that stage. I mean, that's what Yaakov is asking for. He's asking for Aliyah. He wants to be special. He doesn't want to just make a deal with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. He says, Vaya Hashem li lelukim, and God will be with me, meaning I will see God in what's happening, in the regular things that happen in the world. The last Ramban, the third Ramban, Vaya Hashem li lelukim, and then a tnai, kidivrei Rashi. Ramban says, I don't like Rashi. Where's the Rashi? Vaya Hashem li lelukim, sheechol shmo alai mitchila v'atzof. His name will rest upon me from beginning to end. Shelo yimatze pasul bizar'i, that there should not be any unacceptable children and grandchildren in my progeny. Kimo she'ne'emar, as it says, asher dibarti loch v'avtacha zo hivtiach l'Abraham. This was promised to Abraham. She'ne'emar liyot lecha l'elokim lezarcha acharecha. So it means, according to Rashi, the Tanai is really a Tanai. Like Yaakov says, okay, everything's great, but I want to make sure that all my children and grandchildren, etc., are all going to be without a blemish. So the Ramban says, Einenu Tanai k'divrei Rashi. I don't like Rashi. Aval hu neder. It's a promise. It's an oath. V'inyano. If I do in fact go back to the house of my father, and vod Hashem amiyuchad be'eretz hanevcheret b'mekom ha'even hazot shetiyeli leveit Elokim v'sham otzi et ha'maaser. He says, I will vaya Hashem le'elokim, and this event that's taking place now will become part of my regular life, and I will worship God in the place of this stone. Shetiyeli lebeit Elokim, that will become the house of God. V'shamotzi et ha'maaser, shamotzi et ha'maaser, that's where I will give the tithe of maaser. Is yesh be'inyan sod. Right, Kibisha is a Gemara in Ksuvus. At the end of Ksuvus, the Gemara says, a Gemara in the Bavli. Right, Bavli is Bavel. Bavel is Chutz La'aretz. So the Gemara in the Bavli said that if you live outside of Eretz Yisrael, dome kemishe ein lo Eloah. So that means that if you want to read the story of Yaakov carefully, say he spent a long time in Babel, he spent a long time in Babel, and then he came back to Eretz Yisrael. If you say to yourselves, you think to yourself, like, what was it that he was missing in Babel that he was looking for when he came back to Eretz Yisrael? So the answer is in that Gemara, according to the Ramban. It doesn't mean that you can't worship God. It doesn't mean that you can't do the mitzvahs and etc. Other Rabba, I mean, you know, of course you could do the mitzvah. What does Misha Ein Lo Eloha mean? It means that the experience of having a God that is watching over you, that experience is not possible in Chutz La'aretz, according to the Ramban. I'm not saying anything about it. According to the Ramban, anybody who lives in Chutz La'aretz can worship God and do what he has to do, what he's obliged to do, and to avoid the things that he's obliged to avoid. But he can't have that feeling. And that was the lesson that Yaakov received when he was on his way to Chutz Laaretz. It was like almost as though God was saying to Yaakov, you know, Yaakov, you're not the Seder. There's something wrong with you. If there was nothing wrong with you, you wouldn't be leaving the country now. But there's something that you can learn, you will learn, only by leaving Eretz Yisrael and living the life of a Jew in Chutz Laaretz, according to the Ramban. And by living the life of a Jew in Chutz Laaretz, you'll understand what you're missing, what you had in Eretz Yisrael, what you had on that night that you dreamed about Malachei Hashem Olim V'Yordim, Olim V'Yordim Bo, V'Hashem Nitzav Al HaSulam, right, that there's some opportunity in Eretz Yisrael that just doesn't exist in Chutz Laaretz. And Yaakov, in order to become a real person with real desires and not just a person who takes what you can get, who lives the life of you know, a good life, you all heard of Chutz Laaretz. They build nice shuls there, and they all have nice, cute little children who run around and don't fight in wars and don't fight for wars. And the Ramban thought that Yaakov had to go through that experience. It wasn't just HaKadosh Baruch Hu telling Yaakov, Chutz Laaretz is due east, you know, like. But that the lesson that Yaakov Avinu learned or participated in when he was leaving Eretz Canaan to go to Aram Naharaim, Bavel, to go to Bavel, that lesson could only have been learned in that way. And when he came back, there was a changing of the guard again. The angels of Chutz Laaretz couldn't go to Eretz Yisrael, and the angels of Eretz Yisrael reappeared to bring Yaakov back into Eretz Yisrael. And the point was that it was possible through the Chalom to achieve a certain kind of relationship with God, that there is a God, that God is there, that God is watching, that God is helping, that God is doing it, and that the level of achievement would be lechem and malbush, right? Bread and clothing, which are regular. I mean, you go to a store, you buy a loaf of bread. It's not something that you get too overwhelmed by, but it is true. It is true that if you could see, I mean, that's what the brachas try to help us do, but it doesn't always work. But theoretically, everybody could see his fortune, not good fortune, his fortune, whatever he has, whatever he gets, as being the result of divine intervention, and because that person is actually very close to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And that was the Yaakov option. Yaakov learned to do that. And that became part of his children and his grandchildren, etc. Okay, have a good Shabbos.